Guys, one of the two Gaston County paranormal activity investigators, PAIs. We'll ask them. Here's one of them right here. Story about these guys in the Shelby Star the other day. Jason Porter is one of the two, and he's on the telephone with us. Jason?
Yes.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Not too bad. You?
Doing very well. Welcome to WBT.
Thank you.
People ask you if you're a Ghostbuster?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
We're not really busters, though.
That's why I didn't figure we needed to bring that up here, Ghostbuster. I figure you've probably gotten that enough. You're not actually a Ghostbuster. You're a ghost, whisperer? A ghost?
No, we're paranormal investigators. We're a scientific-based team. We're not a ghost whisperer or a psychic or any of those types. We use strictly scientific methods to investigate.
You use strictly scientific methods and tools to investigate ghosts?
Correct.
Yeah. What constitutes paranormal activity that you investigate?
Well, the typical, what you would think of paranormal activity is bumps in the night, hearing noises, hearing disembodied voices, hearing, different noises, seeing apparitions, all those different types of things we investigate.
So people think they're seeing something in the night, hearing something in the night, feeling something in the night, for example, or it could be during the day, but the night.
Correct.
The night
right.
is common.
Right.
And so they call you.
They would go on our website and contact us, and we would get back with them and do an interview, and if we decide that it's worthwhile going out there, because we do get a few, crazy people. I don't want to call them that so much, but eccentric people that think they have something, and usually it's nothing, and we'll interview them, and if we feel it's necessary to go out, we'll go out and investigate.
As a paranormal activity investigator, not a Ghostbuster, you do sometimes get calls from some people who are a little wacky.
The one that comes to mind was I had a guy call me at 2 o'clock in the morning saying that he had a ghost standing in his living room, and I told him it was 2 o'clock in the morning and to offer him a beer and I would talk to him later.
I like that. I like that approach, actually. Well, what did the guy do? Did he ever call you back or?
No, actually he didn't. I was kind of a little bit mad. The fact that it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I think the guy was drunk. I mean, he sounded that way. So that
gave you that idea.
Well, 2 o'clock in the morning, slurred speech, and that's why I told him to offer him a beer.
So when you get the call, and it's not from some liquored up dude at 2 a.m, and it's paranormal activity, and it's bumps or disembodied sounds or whatever it is, voices. So you're going to go out there. What do you go out and do? What kind of equipment are you bringing out there? What are you going to try to do to investigate the activity?
Well, we bring a various number of pieces of equipment. But when we first get there, one of the first things that we want to do is we listen to the client's claims. We then will try to debunk or disprove their claims, trying to find whether or not, if it's a door that's moving by itself, is it off level? Is, they're feeling cold spot? Is there a draft? There's a creak in the floor. There's someone running up and down the hallway. This is the best one that we've had so far, was someone was running up and down the hallway, and one of my investigators went into the spare bedroom and sat on the bed, and it made a creak in the hallway. She stood up, sat back down, it made the same creak. What we've determined was the fact that they had a young couple over as guests that night, that they were kind of having a little bit of fun, if you know what I mean, in the bedroom, and was making it run up and down the hallway. So we tried to debunk first, and then capture evidence if we can later and try to get that to show to the clients.
Sexual activity in other bedrooms is often mistaken for ghosts in the night.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. Okay, so then if there isn't some logical, that's what you're doing. You're going after like a logical cause or explanation. So
correct.
Let's say there's not. Then what do you do? Start getting out the ghost-catching machinery?
Yeah, we would break out at that point. We use voice recorders that we can download to the computer. We use IR cameras, infrared cameras. We use regular digital cameras. And we use EMF detectors, which EMF stands for electromagnetic field. One of the theories is that ghosts, specters, whatever you want to call them, can manipulate the electromagnetic field to try to manifest themselves or make themselves shown. So by using the EMF detector, lots of times you can show a spike in the EMF field, and if it's not something in the room or a natural cause causing that spike, you can use a theory, or you can assume that it's a ghost, but you can't back it up unless you have something like an EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon, or something on video.
You have any of those? You have some videos? Have you caught? I don't want to say, because I don't want to, I mean, I'm not, you know, trying to just goof on you. So I don't want to say, well, have you caught a ghost? But, I mean, do you have you capped? Have you caught a ghost, I guess? I don't want to.
Well,
that's what it comes down to. Have you found one?
We have found one. And actually, if you go on CarolinaParanormal.com, we have several EVPs on there. We have some videos. Now, we don't have videos of the ghost itself, but we have videos of the ghost manipulating a flashlight and communicating with us. They can manipulate. If you take a certain type of flashlight and get it to the point where if you just touch it real lightly, it will come on and go off. And we have one of those, several of those flashlights, and you can get the ghost to answer yes and no questions by turning the flashlight on and off. And we have a couple videos of that on there.
Okay, wait a minute now. So I'm trying to, be straight down the line here.
Yep.
What you're telling me you have a video of is not an actual ghost.
Correct.
Not that you can see. But right. What you do have is a video of a ghost that you're playing some kind of ghost game show with.
You could call it that if you want.
And you're asking the ghost questions.
Right.
And the ghost is answering yes or no by turning a flashlight on and off.
Correct.
So on the video, what I see is you or one of your partners.
Right.
And then I see a flashlight going on and off.
Right.
I don't see any ghost.
Correct.
And I'm supposed to go along with that.
Well, you can if you want. That's the thing about paranormal investigating. We have yet to have a ghost appear to us on video in a laboratory where it is, we can scientifically 100% prove that there is a ghost there. There are many theories of why ghosts exist, if you believe they exist, but we're trying to prove they exist using our methods. There are other methods out there that people utilize. We don't tend to like those methods. That's just our personal choice. But it's all up to the person. I mean, if we could bring a ghost into a lab and say, dance for us on the table, we would have done it by now.
This is Jason Porter. He's one of the paranormal activity investigators. We don't call them Ghostbusters, from Gaston County. And what is your website, Jason?
It's CarolinaParanormal.com.
Okay. Angela will make sure that's up on our webpage so that we can get linked up there. Obviously, right. You believe that there are ghosts because you played Family Feud or something with one of them.
Yep.
So you do believe that in ghosts?
I do. I've had a couple personal experiences, and after 7 years of investigating, I've seen things, heard things that would make most people turn and run.
Hmm. Why, apparently, in the whole history of ghosts and humans, and, you know, people seeing ghosts, investigating ghosts, all this kind of stuff, I mean, it seems no ghost has ever decided to just come forward and say, yep, here I am, it's me, I'm a ghost.
Right.
And you know, just lay it out. Just explain it all. Just say, yes, here's what's going on.
Right.
Now, why is that?
We don't know. We have theories, you know, why they can't just appear. The theory is that they have to use energy, and that it takes a lot of energy for them to just appear. Maybe they don't want to scare the heck out of people. We don't know why they just won't appear. We wish they would, and just let us know what's going on. I think it would solve a lot of issues as far as religion goes and what people believe. But, you know, unfortunately, it hasn't happened. I'd love it to happen.
So
I want to be the one to capture it.
You think they don't want to scare people. But if they don't want to scare people, why is it that ghosts, all they ever do is they go around and go, ooh. I mean, that's what ghosts do, and that's pretty scary. So if they don't want to scare people, why don't they just come up and say, hi, I'm Fred?
Well, first of all, I've never seen or heard a ghost go, ooh. You know, that's all Halloween stuff. I have had a ghost call out one of the investigators' names. It was a female-sounding voice, and there was no females in the building. And it was there was no females around the building, and it was right in the same room. Why? I can't tell you. I wish I could.
You know what the thing is? You sound very, I mean, sane and 2 feet on the floor and straight ahead. If you were on welfare, I don't think I'd make you whiz in a cup. I mean, you don't sound like you're on any chemicals to me. And
nope.
I believe in the possibilities. I mean, I believe that I don't know about all of that. I believe that things are possible. I mean, who knows? But it when you get into it, it always sounds so wacky. It's like, even in your case, no, we don't have any video. We don't actually have. But what we have is a flashlight being turned on and off on video, and that's a ghost. Like,
right.
You know, like you couldn't just make a flashlight go on and off.
We're presuming it's a ghost. Now, if you listen to the EVPs on there, we're assuming that is also a ghost, though it could be radio interference. It could be a neighbor, you know, yelling. Though we try our best to capture that audio, if it's an EVP, on as many voice recorders as possible. And when we review our evidence, we do it very meticulously to make sure that we don't hear a neighbor that's yelling. We do research on the area to make sure that there's no radio towers nearby, or, you know, we'll even, when we pull into a location, check the neighbors' houses to see if there's CB antennas up on there, just to make sure that we're not getting any interference.
Jason Porter. Jason, can you hang on for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Good. Hang on. I want to ask you a couple of more questions about this. It's just, you know, of all the things, so the ghosts, they can't have any contact, they can't do anything, but they can play, what, $20,000 pyramid with a flashlight. Why?
Larson.
All right, Jason's website is linked up to the Larson page at WBT.com, Angela tells me. He's a paranormal activity investigator in North Carolina from Gaston County. And so if people call you, Jason, and they're investigating, like, how much does that cost for people to have you come and investigate their ghost or strike up a game of Wheel of Fortune with them or whatever you might play?
Well, we actually don't charge anything to come out and do an investigation. And the reason for that is when you hire a plumber, you expect them to come out and fix your pipes. If he's a good plumber, he usually does, and you get something for your money. Because of the nature of paranormal investigation, we can't guarantee we're going to get anything. I mean, we may come in and debunk the whole thing, or we may come in and do an 8-hour investigation and never get a single bit of evidence. And my opinion is, if I'm not going to guarantee you any kind of evidence or any kind of results, I'm not going to charge you a dime. We'll accept donations, but that's all we do.
And so you don't, like, have an actual revenue stream? So this is just like, a hobby, passion, interest, curiosity? So you're not making any money at this?
Correct.
Well, come on. Jason, people don't care about the result. They're going and paying spooky women to read cards and play Ouija boards and all of this kind of stuff. People are nuts. You could be making all kinds of money at this.
I know, we probably could, but we're out to help people. We really are. I'm not worried about making the money. I mean, we finance it from our own pockets, and you know, we try our best to, if somebody's in need, to get out there as soon as possible. I mean, everybody on my team are professionals. We all have day jobs. We do this when we can, usually on Saturday nights. We're so busy right now. We're booked through February as far as cases, and we still have 5 we haven't even talked to yet.
Really? So you got pending cases?
We have pending cases, yep.
Wow. That's incredible. What about the, you ever, while you're investigating things, you ever run across Bigfoot?
No.
You know, nothing like, because I mean, people think they see that too, but you've never run across that?
No, I've run across some big hairy people, but... No Bigfoot. No aliens.
Jason, well, you did, what? Wait, what? An alien?
No, well, we ran across somebody that had an alien baby. A little weird, but it's a long story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I thought.
Hey, Jason, as soon as you catch one, call me.
I will.
Right here, we'll have them on the 50,000 watts. Is that a deal?
That works for me.
And we'll get the TV from down the hall, too. So, all right, so we've got a deal. If you do catch one, I'll be first.
All right, not a problem.
Jason Porter, thanks.
Thank you.